That's a powerful, powerful thing for you to know when you're in the thick of it. You know, in order for us to get away from the Lord, we have to excuse ourselves from him to get in the flesh in any way. How many ways are there? Many. But that's what we have to do. So I'm trying to give you things that will help you to have a great year. And when I'm going to share this tonight, I've got three places I'm going to go. And it has to do with cleansing and how cleansing happens and what it means. I've only got a few moments, but I'm going to try to cut right to what the Word of God is saying about what it means to be clean and how to get clean. So if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, and I'm going to be reading from there. Those of you that have a Bible, God bless you. That's what we should do. You know, I've got a thing where people that I don't, you know, when I got saved, nobody had to tell me to go to church. And it took about three and a half years. I learned how to tithe. I didn't know. But God taught me those things. And I'm learning more and more to just leave those things to God. And if God has something that he wants you to hear, and if you want to hear something, he's going to make that connection. And I don't mean in any way to be lazy or arrogant, but just as I look at how things work, the 70s for me is becoming a 10-year period of learning some things like never before. And I'm enjoying that. I hope you're enjoying your life, whatever season that you're in. And Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray right now. Lord, I pray for these that are gathered here. I pray for those that will hear this word through the media. Father, I pray in Jesus' holy name that something can be said here to help the folks that are in here, Father, the folks that will hear this message. And everyone said, amen. All right, we're in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to just read that in the King James language. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world doesn't know us because it didn't know him. Let me just say something right off the bat. If you really get a dose of salvation, there's a change that will start working inside your life, and you will become indifferent to the world, and in many instances, people will become argumentative with you. I had somebody call me today, and they wanted to argue about Donald Trump, and he was just this and that and the other. Well, I didn't want to hear that, so I just told him, I'm going to hang up now, and I don't want to hear that. I didn't say very much when Joe Biden was in there, because I think whoever's in there, we need to pray for them. They need our prayers, and we need to pray for our country, and I really believe that we've drifted as a nation. You know, the word says righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And I believe as a whole, we've drifted from God and from God's best for us. But I feel like there are people all over America just like you. They're here, they want to hear something. They want to know something. They want to learn something. They want to experience something. And my hope is that tonight will be where you can do that. That we should be called the children of God, therefore the world knows us not. And I begin to see it. When I got saved, I was just 19 years old, and I begin to see, wow, something's happened with me and the rest of the world. It's like they became hostile to me. There's a natural conflict between right and wrong, between born again and lost. There just is. And what you have to do is be graceful and gracious in that, because if you get it right, you'll be winning those to Christ. And you can't have animosity or bad feelings, so you got to just kind of try to look for that opportunity to win somebody's heart for Jesus. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then here is a key verse that I'm starting off this next few minutes with. And every person that has this hope, they're going to see Jesus. They're going to live for the Lord. You know, the change and the blessings start in this life. That's for sure. They certainly did in mine. And I look back on my life, and I'm going to tell you, I mean this in the most sincere way. I wouldn't change anything that happened to me, all of it, because it's making me who I'm becoming, and I'm becoming who I want to be and who Christ wants me to be. And I want to tell you, you can't be good enough not to have trials. I want to say that to you. I don't want to preach, well, you blah, blah, this, and you did that, and that's how come this is. No, you know, no matter what, in this world, John 16:33, you will have tribulation, each and every one of us. But be of good cheer. The Lord says, I have overcome the world. And if you'll stay close to me, I will show you, and I will make that travesty and that trial a tool to change you for the better. You have to realize this. Anything that happens to you, God allows it if you belong to him. Now, there are people that are not born again, which is most of the people. The word Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, and few there be that find it. But broad is the way, that's the wrong way. But God, when you become part of his family, he obligates himself. He's a father. And if you want to know what he's doing with you, look up all the Bible verses about fathers. There's bunches of them. And you'll understand God, and you'll see him working in your life. So praise God. Now, let me read verse 3 again. And everyone that has this hope of seeing God, of being born again, of having a new life, purifies himself. Purifies himself, cleanses himself. Now, in just a few minutes here, all together, I'm going to show you where you have a part to play in your cleansing, and God has a part to play in your cleansing. And that's just the way it is. And I would like to take all of the mystery. Some things are mysterious because they're meant to be. You know, Jesus said, I'm the Son of God. I don't know the day or the hour. Only the Father in heaven knows when the end things, but there are many things we should know. So those that step behind this sacred desk, these holy desks all across America, they shouldn't waste our times with poems and scolding people and petting people and lying to people and deceiving people and trying to control and get people to do things and just preach the dadgum word, because that's what you need. You need the truth of the word. That's why my daughter stands up here and says, I'm going to give you the word. I'm not going to give you my opinions. See, there are too many people in America giving their opinions, and that's great. What I want is to know, what is God's opinion on everything in my life and everything that we have to face? And I want to tell you something. Any trial that comes from God is a storm. As a storm, no storm lasts forever. So what you want to do, you want to know what's happening with your life. You want to ask God. Ask questions. There are no dumb questions. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn about me. Now, how do you learn something? You ask questions. Ask God. You know what? If you'll make a connection with God and with this word, that's all. See, I don't have the degrees. All I've seen with the people with the degrees and been to this and that and the other is, you know what? They learn how to be that particular thing. A Baptist, a Methodist. You know what? I'm not here to teach you how to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Pentecostal or anything else. I'm here to teach you experientially with my life how to be a believer and how to be happy about it and how to be joyful and how to win at it. And I'm going to just tell you, I don't know anybody that doesn't have a problem at times with sin in this life. There is an evil tempter in this life, and I'm not standing up here because I've lived a sinless life. I'm standing up here because God called me to share, to bear fruit, to be a soul winner, to release the power of God. That's what he's called me to do. So I enjoy it, and I enjoy you, and I love you, and I'm very careful what I say, especially to you here in this church, because you're my family. See, we left all of our family that we had. We came here, and one step at a time, you became our family. It was Casey and Millie and myself, and we just made connections here that became very close, and that's the way it should be. We're family. A church is a family. And everybody has a ministry. And your ministry starts with whoever you're living with. My ministry starts with my wife. And Evan also now is living with us once again. And if you're a young person living with your parents, your ministry starts there. It doesn't start with your best friend at school. Now, I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having best friends. I'm just telling you, I don't have a lot of time. I just have to tell you exactly how things work in the kingdom of God. And I can look each and every one of you in the eye, and I can tell you to a great degree, I know how things work. You know why? I've always been fascinated by God ever since I met him. And make no mistake, I didn't find Jesus. FYI, Jesus ain't lost. Jesus found me. He's looking for people who will cry out to him. And you know what? He knows the cry of the heart. When that happens, wherever that is on the face of the earth, look here. He knows when the smallest, most insignificant bird falls dead out of the sky anywhere. And for his children, at least, maybe for all of us, he knows how many hair are on your head. Your barber don't even know that, but he does. I'm encouraging you to have confidence in God and build a relationship with God. And it's not a big mystery. It's not a big hard thing. Just start talking to God. Start talking to the Lord. And then you learn to put in Jesus' name with that. That's how you pray. That's the prayer that gets through. See, that's what Jesus said. That's what the Word says. Somebody told me the other day, well, I'm going to let you pray. I said, you ain't going to let me pray. You either want me to pray or you don't. Now, that's up to you. I know who I am. And I know what happens when I pray. So, I remember one time, many years ago, a woman came up here and up in the front, and the Lord just kind of impressed me. Something wasn't. And I said, well, what did you come up for? She said, well, I just come up to just see what had happened up here. She said, I want to see if she had some little things she wanted. And I said, well, do you believe that God will move up here? Do you believe that God will answer my prayer and prayer for you? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, I'm not going to pray for you, you know. Let's not waste each other's time and then blame it on God. See, and sometimes you just have to be matter of fact. And what you heard Sunday morning was my daughter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, being matter of fact with you and telling you, you know what? If you had a deadly disease that a doctor physician could help you with, wouldn't you feel that's pretty awful if he wouldn't tell you what it was? And that's the way the ministry is. We are here to help, to love you, to feed you, and to lead you into eternity. And to speak correction if you'll let us. And if you won't let us, let me tell you something. Here's what the Word says. It all goes what the Word says. Don't correct anybody that doesn't want to be corrected, because they'll hate you. And the way that they'll hate you, like Kelly says, they'll be talking about you behind your back. So it's taken me far too long to learn what I'm learning in the 70s. But I love every minute of it. And I am learning, and I'm glad about that. And you're learning too. And I'm very glad about that. So we're talking tonight specifically for a few moments about cleansing. Cleansing is important in your life. As the Word says, everybody that really has this hope in them, they begin to purify themselves. There's two things that are truths. If you sin, don't stop talking to the Lord. That's not going to help anything. That's what Satan wants you to do. He wants you to feel guilty about what you did. He'll make you do something, then he'll make you feel guilty about it. You can't grow that way. You're going to have the audacity that in these next two places that I go, before you leave here, I want you to know for sure that you're forgiven when something happens. That you're forgiven. If you'll just do what the Bible says. It's not hard. It's not difficult. And, you know, at times I call people forward because it's to make a demand on what God is saying. And sometimes I just realize that's not the case. I have no desire to count heads or to get you to do something just for doing it. I'm trying to get you to act on the Word of God. I want you to act on the impulse of the Holy Spirit. So my job is, I have to know that. I have to be living that in my own life so I can tell when it comes up. And that's what I try to do up here. Do I fail? Sure I fail. So do you. So we're in the same bucket. It's called life. And it can be beautiful. I'm 73. I've been through many, many different kinds of things. I can just tell you, life is beautiful with the Lord. Every moment that I've spent with him has been worth it. When I met the Lord, I met what was missing in my life. He is my true north. Nobody else. I don't love anybody on earth as much as I love him. But because I love him, he helps me to love people more than I could. All right. We're talking about cleansing. Let's go to the next place. Psalm 19, verses 12. 14, and we'll go there, and I'm going to go there first in the King James language. Psalm 19, powerful place in God's Word. If you ever, I think it might have been Kelly or Sam, somebody quoted some of these verses from this pulpit recently. I'm going to read beginning at verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Now, I want you to see what's being said here, because to get rid of something that you are ashamed of and that you hate in your life, you have to know how to do it. Now, I'm going to read it in the King James. Who can understand his errors? And then look what it says here. In the last place, it said, if you've got this hope in you, purify yourself. But let's see what that means, to purify yourself. Who can understand his own errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Okay. Now we're talking about where you live. The things that you don't tell anybody, or you don't tell many. Your secrets, the deepest secrets, are the ones that you need to get in your car or in your bathroom or wherever you pray, and you need to tell God what your problem is. You need to be very specific You need to tell him. You don't. The devil wants you to hide about that. He doesn't want you to ever address things like they really are. He doesn't want you to judge yourself, which the word says, if a person would judge themselves, that's the most beneficial. If you would judge yourself, then God doesn't have to deal with you. Okay? If you refuse to judge yourself and to be honest with yourself, you're not going to go anywhere. I've buried people that have spent a lifetime and never knew what their calling was. They never really addressed issues. Where did they go? I don't know. I am not qualified to say where people go, because the whole subject of judgment is too deep for me and anybody else. You're not going to know it by how many Bible verses you know it. It's in the hands and the heart of God Almighty. Paul was an old man who studied under Gamaliel, one of the greatest glory boys of his day. Supposed to be a great Pharisee. And toward the end of his life, he said, I haven't made it yet. You know, that's an honest thing to say. That's why the Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, which means, hey, don't make it like it's light, because you know what? It's the most important thing when you leave this life. We had a precious young worker at Paris School lose her, just died the other day. Wasn't even 40 years old. Well, that ain't going to happen to me. Well, I don't know. I'm hoping it don't happen to me either. You know, I want to live as long as God wants me to. But it happens every day. I was thinking today as I was driving to Scranton about the young boy just within the last 18 months. He was driving right about where I was, and a semi-trailer just fell over on and killed him. Dead. 15, 16 years old. So we want to stay ready. We don't need to be fearful. And if I was trying to make you afraid, well, that's manipulation. What I'm trying to make you is aware of what it takes. And yes, I can look everybody in the eye in here. I know what it takes. I paid the price. When everybody else was going this way, many times I was all by myself. You know, when we started Paris Christian Center, I thought, God, is this right? I was sharing with this with Kelly the other day. You haven't given me anybody. I don't even have anybody that I can talk to about some of these things. And he said, Angelo, read your Bible. I said, well, I do. He said, well, then you'll notice there's some men walk alone, and I'm their counselor. Now, that's happened to me. Have I taken help where I could get it? Yeah, of course. Only a fool wouldn't. But I haven't had a lot of people want to help me. But God did. If you want to be noticed, notice God. He'll notice you back better than anybody else. All right. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from my secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Well, God will understand. Now, well, yeah, you know what God understands? He said that in his word, that's a sin. And that's what he understands. And you do certain things with sins so that you can get rid of them. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And then this term, let. I looked this up in many translations today. Let, and I'm going to tell you what that means. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And what that means, to let, it means that the way that things work, of getting free from things and from going, is that you work together with God. The word says, leave every person to work out their own salvation. Salvation isn't spitting in your hand and shaking a preacher's hand in front of the church and going and nothing's changed. That's not what it is. And anybody that makes you even think that it is, they're not helping you. The truth of the matter is God is hoping for a response, okay, from each and every one of us, a correct response. Well, what is the correct response? Do what I did. I was 19 years old. I had a high school diploma. I started two or three degrees in college. I didn't finish any of them, but I'll tell you what I did. I got me a Bible, a living Bible. Took it and put it in my room after I had a salvation experience, and for months and months, all I did was read that Bible. And you know, the more I read, the more I got fed. The more I read, the more I was intrigued. Nobody had to make me go to church. Nobody had to tell me to read my Bible. I read that Bible so much that that Bible began to read me. And for the first time in my miserable little old life as a young person, I began to see what the problems were. God began to show me one piece at a time. And you know what I did? All I did was cooperate with God. If I can do it, anybody can do it. So what I want to say here is where it says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. That word means, Father, I'm going to connect with you and work with you. And together, it's my understanding, you're going to help me. You're going to help me to be free. You're going to help me to feel good about myself. It's possible to sin, to process that sin properly, which is to tell it to the Lord, confess it, and not have guilt for days, months, years. That's what the devil wants. He wants to stop the progress and flow of God in your life any way he can convince you to. And what you have to do is you just have to have the audacity that you realize this next place we're going, the last place tonight. If you can make yourself listen, and I know you can, go with me to 1 John chapter 1. And I'm going to finish here tonight. And then we're going to take communion. And it's going to tie in why we take communion, everything, just one little place in the Word. 1 John. The first letter of John, chapter 1. And verse 5, starting with verse 5. This then is the message which we heard of Jesus and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and we do not the truth. Now, what we're talking about here, when you're born again and you have that experience, there is a great blow to that sin factor in your life. And I'm not saying you'll never sin again, but there's something inside of you telling me, like never before, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to do that. That's not what God wants for me. He showed me that just as a person and him being God Almighty, that he wanted to be my dad. See, I didn't have a dad. Nobody wanted to be my dad, okay, except for God. That meant a lot to me. I never forgot that. I never will forget that. I built my life on having the right dad. And for those of you that had a father, that's a good thing. And you know, I've been a father to many people, and I love that. And I'm trying to be a father to you tonight. Let's look at that again. Verse 6. And if we say that we have fellowship with God and we continue to perpetually, habitually, there's no change, we keep walking in darkness, we're lying. We're lying to ourselves. Nobody else. We're lying. You're lying to yourself. God, Jesus, the devil wants you to lie to yourself and get so confused I've seen so many people say, I don't do that. I don't want to do that. That's just too much. All they want is my money. All they want is this. They don't know me. Who are they to tell? You see, and all kinds of stuff like that. Okay, let's look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, how do you walk in the light? You begin to be aware there are things you need to turn loose of in your life. That's how you walk in the light. That's what it is. Because you can, you know what? You can feel, I can feel darkness and I can feel light. And so can you. The devil doesn't want you to feel that. The devil doesn't want you to know. But if we walk in the light where he is, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now look at the next. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from every sin. Smith Wigglesworth, the Wesley brothers, they took communion every day. It's about the blood of Jesus. There's power in communion if you know what you're doing. Doesn't mean nothing at all if you don't know what it's all about. And every time I'm up here, I'm trying to explain what these things mean, because you don't learn them overnight. You know what? The ones, if you're just following hard after God, just say, you know, I don't understand everything, but I got enough of Jesus that I know I want more, and I'm going to pay the price. See, it's not just going to church and laying it all on the preacher, the pastor, the priest, whatever it is, and thinking that they're going to get you into heaven, because they can't. And they also can't keep you from being in heaven. I'm here to tell you that. That's been my ministry since I was a youth. But if we walk in the light where the Lord is, how hard is it to walk in the light? Just get up in the morning and say, Jesus, where are you today? And he'll show you. He'll put the right people in your life. And I promise you, if you don't pay attention to God, Satan will put the wrong people in your life in the same time period. It's up to you. Because look here, if he says, depart from me, if that in his deepness, if that's the way, if he says, you ain't getting in, well, you ain't getting in. You know what? He's love. And he's trying to get you in. He's doing all that he can for us, each and every one of us. And if we waste grace, we'll pay the ultimate price, which is to be eternally away from God. I'm going to finish up these verses here. Now, it says, the last part of 7 says, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Look at verse 9. Now here's where it is. Here's where we join with the Lord. This is how you join with the Lord. This next verse, everything I said hangs around this verse. When I said in the first place, you cleanse yourself, it brought that out. In the second place, Lord cleansed me. And here's the third place. And this is where they all come together. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and he has a legal right to forgive us of our sins. And not only that, how do you get cleansed? You stop playing games with your life. And you tell yourself the truth. I'm wrong. I'm wrong and I'm wrong again when you're wrong. And by doing that one thing, in just a moment, you're going to be asked to examine your heart. Let a man examine his heart, and then let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. I've done that for years and years and years. I'm going to ask you to be real with God and yourself, not anybody else. Know where you're at, because you're about to take this. This is not This becomes the flesh and blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to talk about what happens if you take it in an unworthy manner. I got a better look at this. If you take this the right way, you're going to get clean. If you take this the right way, that's all it is. If you're really grieved over some of the things that you're partaking in, if there's anything, does people every week have something? No, I don't think so. I don't have something every week, but I have stuff at times, and you know what? I go to the Lord with it. You can get free. Anybody can get free. You don't have to go to college to get free. You just have to go to the cross. You just have to go to the Christ. You just have to go to the maker of heaven and earth and be honest with two people, you and him. Be honest, for goodness sakes. Well, I didn't know that was wrong. I don't believe that, man. People know what wrong is. I didn't have to go to college to learn what wrong was. I just did it. It felt wrong. It was wrong. I did wrong. I sinned. And by having that truth, one by one, he's taking those things away from me. Let's make an altar. Examine your heart. And you know what? If you've got something that you know shouldn't be there, I'm not asking you to tell anybody in this church, but God, tell the Lord. Be honest. Be honest so that you can grow. And if you'll be honest with him, he'll cleanse you.